last surviving member of that championship team. This guy right here was the coach, and this was his brother, and their father was the one that owned the house that the high school used to be in. But their father made a lot of money. This is the house here, but it's been remodeled several times since then. That's another shot of it. But the lady had just remodeled it. Mm-hmm. She put it back to its original form because the one brother took this off, took the stucco off, and he just made a mess out of it. Mm-hmm. But she's fixed it back a good bit. This just tells you about some of the places schools were throughout Montague mm-hmm. County for black students. This does too. I went to school at a little place up before you get to the, are you familiar with the shack?
Yeah, I know of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've driven by it.
This, and again, they had all these little schools.
Wow.
This is one I haven't been able to go out and take a picture of yet. This just tells us about some of the people where they went from when the schools were integrated. This does.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a school up a place, and so many people, but I tell them, sometimes I'll tell someone, I said, wait a minute, I'm older than you. Because I was telling about the school that was here at the top of Bertha Hill out on the old route. And they said, I said, it was burned down. They said, no, it's still there. I said, it sets back. I said, you are not listening to me. I went right there even before I was old enough to go to school.
Mm.
And it was at the top of the hill, but the white school was back further. Yeah. So some, you know.
Yeah.
This was one as you go up towards Mallon Park. There was a black school up there. This one here, up at Cassville, and this was the building before it was remodeled. My aunt ended up buying this place, and there's a ballpark here, and the house sits back, I guess it's back this way. When I look at this map, I'm gonna think of it. But anyway, then she sold it to a family, and the guy and his wife have did a terrific job remodeling it.
Oh, wow.
It just looks like a home that should be in Better Homes and Gardens.
Wow.
This is another one that was out at Edwardsville. So, this one is on White Avenue. I said my husband went to first grade in this one. And a young lady that bought the other one on White Avenue, this is right across the street from the big house.
Mm-hmm.
She has made seven studio apartments out of this. And she did a terrific job of remodeling it. And evidently she's renting it to, and it's on National Register of Historic Places. And she, it seems to me, I don't know what her rent is, but it seems like she's giving some people and some students and so forth a good rate on there, but it's nice. This is the front of it. Of course, she's taking those windows out.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes on to talk about my education and some of the places that I went to school at, and this is before you get to the shack.
Mm-hmm.
This one here is of first grade, and when I first saw this picture, and of course I put the names on it, but the first time I saw it, I said, I know every one of those kids, but I said, who in the world is that? And they said, Charlene, it's you. And I guess the shadow from the was across me. Yeah. But and I have no idea who this kid is because that was just too dark.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, I don't know who that is. I'm the only one that's still living.
Wow.
But I remember each one of those. And somebody said, how can you recognize it? I can look at those faces. This right here would be Sarah's brother.
Oh, yeah. The boy.
Yeah, Sarah's brother. I put that on because he was our principal at the time. And the school that I was talking to you about, Lloyd B. Cox, this was a school right here. But you see, it was up on this hill.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go across that bridge going into Osage,
mm-hmm.
when you pass Sheets and go through there, see that bridge wasn't there. You had to go through the old road. That school set up on top of that hill.
Wow.
And the teachers used to tell us that when they surveyed and the pegs were out there, don't mess with those. I mean, because there's going to be a road. And we thought, who's going to put a road on this hillside?
Yeah.
Little did we know they cut through that hill to make the road go through there.
Right.
And then they had to move the school down here.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after integration, the school was torched. It was a four-room school with a library. So, but it wasn't such a bad building. And this was Osage before. This picture was taken in the late 50s, and it was taken by one of my sisters. And it was taken from such a distance, mm-hmm. I don't know if she realized that she really got that picture.
Yeah, right.
Because it was taken from a porch up on Osage Hill. Mm. And then here you can just see a little bits of, I thought, boy, if I had known then what we know now, I'd have had some more pictures of Osage when it was booming, you know. Yeah. And then before they put the road in, when you go out past the sheets and go up like you're going to get on the interstate, well, right where the exchange is, that's where our house sat. So, and then I just show you where they cut through that mountain, and this is how you come back down through and go through Osage. And see, when I was a kid, when you go through there and then you turn down here, that building right there was not there, and that road here was not there. When they cut through the mountain, they put that up. When you went through Osage, you went straight through where that was the highway, right where that building is. These were some of the other people that was there, and these were the cooks that did the hot lunch at the programs there. And again, these are some of the kids that I went to school with. And someone said, well, how did you have white teachers? I said, that wasn't a white teacher. She was there, but she probably came to do some kind of special project. Some people would just volunteer to come to the school to do different things. This was another one of, and again, I didn't recognize myself sitting back there. And one day I was looking, and my daughter said, Mom, is that you right there? I thought, it sure is. And most of the kids, except I can't figure out who that kid is, don't recognize her. But the most of them, I could.
Yep, you could just remember.
So those were just some of the ones. These guys, I said, boy, you can tell how, by looking at everybody, how poor everybody was. But, and again, that's Sarah's brother right there.
Wow.
And they, they always sang really good. So that was just to show some of the things that we did and how different people came. And one amazing thing to me is that on Thursday, it was always a Thursday afternoon, we had Bible study, and the Presbyterian Church would bring students from the university. And we were always so excited and passed out the Bibles and had a Bible workbook. This is the guy that argued to get the black school built. And he was just a tiny little guy. He was shorter than 5 feet. And he lived to be like 104 years old.
Wow.
And he was just dynamite. I tell everybody when I do this, I said he would be my hero. Because after reading some of his history, that I found out that he had to go through so much to help to get that school built. But he had to fight it's like discrimination within our own race. Some people thought they didn't want others to go to school with the kids from Osage. He fought against them. He had to fight the Ku Klux Klan. And then when they got the property over Westover, the people over there back then put out a petition. They didn't want the black kids to be over there. And it was just one thing after another, but he fought it. And I said, and then after the Ku Klux Klan burnt crosses in his yard, then his wife left him.
And they didn't want, so other African Americans didn't want kids from Osage to go to school with their kids because they were poor?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that was always an ongoing thing. People, a lot of people thought that if you came from Osage, you were just trash.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess it'll take a new generation to, you know, do it. But, he thought, number one, he thought the school was too dangerous, it was becoming overcrowded, and of course the guy that owned the building didn't want to lose that money, whatever it was back then. This is one of the pictures that, but except I cut part of him out, and I know there's several people around, that he's grandfather to quite a few people that are still living today, but it was one of those pictures that you had said, like, did I get like, and this guy right here, he did work WPA, and he worked on the construction of that school that was finished in the 30s, late 30s, and evidently, he was such an avid worker, and he instrumental in getting it started, but then when they started, some of the I guess, I don't know, for immigrants or what, that he was their supervisor, and they didn't like the idea of having an African-American supervisor. Mm-hmm. And he got demoted. He had a big house down in Granville. Just a couple years ago, I showed you. I said, do you know where your granddad's house was in Granville? He said, no. I said, I'm going to show you. And it's a big house down here. When he got demoted, he lost his house because he couldn't afford it anymore. And this is just a little article about when they built it, you know, built the school. But right now, they would not say colored students.
Right.
This is the building over there. And this is a later picture of it, because when we went to school there, no one was there but us. But once they integrated the schools and it wasn't all black, then people built up around it. This just gives you an idea of where we were across the river from Morgantown. And this was, we had this plaque put up while I was in the legislature. Barbara got the idea, and they put the plaque up to show a lot of people that didn't realize why the building was there.
Mm-hmm.
And we put the plaque up.
Nice.
And it say that it was a WPA. I took this picture of this cornerstone because there was always a, see, like it says here, it was dedicated 1938.
Mm.
Some people said, well, it was built in 1938, but the cornerstone was laid in 36.
Mm-hmm.
And I just come up with the idea, I thought probably took them that long to finish it,
probably,
to get it ready for, and to get Eleanor Roosevelt, get on her calendar.
Yeah.
But there was always a conflict of the dates, and so I thought, I'm gonna put that on there. But by the time that she did the dedication, it was 38.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk about her. Dewey Fox had become so, they had gotten acquainted mostly through communications,
mm-hmm.
through letters and stuff, because I guess he bugged President Roosevelt and Mrs. Roosevelt,
mm-hmm.
and they were on board. So where did they have the dedication? He was supposed to meet with her, and he's out at Everettsville. You probably don't know where Everettsville
mm-hmm.
is. It's way out past almost to Fairmont on the old road. He was so busy, he thought he couldn't come in. She went out there to see him.
Wow.
This was the program for the dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And this had the school. And some people still have the original
mm-hmm.
programs.
Mm-hmm.
And a few years ago when they had, we would have a Monongalia High reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And so one year they made a copy of it, and that was for our program for the reunion.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, the whole.
Do they have it here every year?
No, we used to have it every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year that we had it, it was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
People came back from abroad. I mean,
wow.
how scattered all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when we had it, your classes were so small, they didn't have it because of the year you graduated.
Mm-hmm.
They just had it for whoever had attended that
yeah.
school. So now, when you stop and think, the school closed in 54, and now we've been 60-some years,
mm-hmm.
and so many of, one year, I tell you, one year, it just seemed like you get a little letter, a little newsletter, and maybe we had lost six or seven
yeah.
or eight, and so
that's
now,
sad.
The numbers are so low, they don't even have it anymore.
Yeah.
For about the last 4 years, haven't had one.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when you had the segregated schools, you had superintendent, state superintendent of schools for the white
mm-hmm.
and state superintendent of schools for the black.
Wow.
And then after the dedication, this is what she wrote about her day here for that.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the story comes out about Hidden Figures, and they realize that Catherine Coleman taught here 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah, Sarah, I've said, Ms. Sarah said she remembered her.
I don't think she does.
Yeah, maybe she doesn't.
Yeah, and the reason I said that, because I was asking her one time, I said, Sarah, see, and it wasn't until, of course, her maiden name was Coleman, and
mm-hmm.
then she was married, and in this thing, it's Catherine Johnson.
Right.
So when something that she had said, I met her down at the Greenbrier,
uh-huh.
and I thought, I wonder why they didn't put her name in there, and I'm looking for it. And then one day it dawned on me, she wasn't married then.
Yeah.
And then I was asking, she said, wait, now was she that real light-colored lady? I thought, everybody knows what complexion she is, you know?
Right.
And I thought, come on. Uh-huh. And then when she was here, then she also said that she lived with her principal. And that kind of threw me. And I was doing a lot of studying and looking up about it.
Uh-huh.
And then it dawned on me, Mr. Barnett was her principal. And then she said that, I think when she went to summer school here, maybe 6 weeks or something,
mm-hmm.
Her mother stayed with her. And she said they lived at the principal's house. And then it dawned on me, he and his wife would always go away for the summer.
Mm.
And the house is on Richwood Avenue.
Mm.
And I think, and I'll have to go back to his picture maybe. Mm.
So I didn't know she taught music too. I didn't even know she played music.
I didn't know what she...
Yeah, it says...
Math and music. Okay, and that's something I just overlooked that. But, yeah. You know they passed a bill in the legislature this year.
About her?
They want to call for the equal pay.
Oh, no.
And I got to find out if the governor signed it or not. Barbara Flesher had called me and asked me if I could find out how to get in touch with her family because she has two daughters. One's deceased. Mm. And... they wanted to know if, there it is, I got the answer right there. Mm-hmm. I need to call that daughter. They wanted to know if her family would be okay if the bill gets passed, could they call it the Katherine Johnson equal pay bill?
Okay.
So I, like I said, I met her, and I know I would not be anybody that they would remember. So many people at that party at the Greenbrier. But I thought, well, I'll try. So I called, I was asking some people who live in Newport News.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a friend here, and he said that, you know what? He said, I have a friend down there, and he's acquainted with a writer that's going to, works for the newspaper, and he's doing an article on her, a story on her. He said, and so he's in touch with the family. So maybe he could help you.
Yeah.
So I called the newspaper and left him a message.
Uh-huh.
Next day he got back with me. And I told him what I wanted. And I said, now, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. But they won't remember me. I guess Barbara just thought since I was African American, I'd be most likely to get their attention. So he... I said, anything you want to know about me? And I said, I used to be the mayor and I live in Morgantown. And in a couple of minutes, he said, oh, and you served for quite a while, didn't you? I said, so you Googled me while I'm talking to you, huh? So he laughed. And I said, yeah, so everything you need to know about me is right there online. So he got in touch with them. He called me back and they would let your attorney handle it. They said they'd be pleased. So they gave permission. Then Barbara, I think, got in touch with the lawyer or something. And I think the bill passed, but I just don't know if the governor signed it.
Yeah.
But it would be named Catherine Coleman. Cool. This lady was quite active all over town and quite just math was her thing.
Wow.
Just a whiz, yeah. And this is that team that I said, and the guy that just died is right there. So I like to talk about the teams that we had and then explain all the different things that we did. And of course, I wasn't there in 40, but the things that the difference in the school and what we had to do to support ourselves and look out for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
This was the choir director, and they said he was definitely ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the choir that he took to the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is Sarah's sister right here.
And I think she's in one of those WPA photos, Ida.
No, that is, oh, yeah, this is Ida.
Yeah, I think Ida.
But I could never find Sarah on this picture.
Oh, yeah.
And I might have a cousin that went on that trip, too. And these are some of the people who I could remember that was, then this was the band director. And what I'm doing is trying to show them the difference and how everybody would say it was separate but equal. I said it was separate, but it was never equal.
Right.
And then when I get to this guy, I always tell everybody how in your high school, if you had a band, mm-hmm. or you had a music instructor, and who had a degree in music, mm-hmm. well, we didn't have that privilege. Mm-hmm. This guy had a little band someplace when he did gigs, you know, all that. But he was our school janitor. Mm. Our school janitor, wow. and he put the band together.
Wow.
And he taught the kids. And this was, these were the majorettes. And one of the ladies here, that who was a good seamstress, the parents come together with the material, and she made all those things.
Wow.
So they, yeah, and then this was one of the majorettes who later became a minister. And everybody would watch for her to come down, and she was fantastic. Then this was another thing that we had to do to raise money to help with the sports. And again, I was always getting into one of the groups to raise money. And we were going to have a dance, I call Spring Comes to Morgantown.
Mm-hmm.
And the money was going to benefit the athletic department. So nice. That was one of those. And I didn't put my name on there because I thought, I'm not going to name myself one here. I thought
with
I'd
the
see.
With a question mark?
Yeah. This lady here, I talk to her sometimes. She's in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm. And she's had quite a time. She's a double amputee now. And the other three are deceased.
Hmm.
Then this is another thing. Each school had something they called during basketball season, also to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
You had a representative from each school, and our school was called Montague High School. In Fairmont, it was called Dunbar. Clarksburg was Kelly Miller. Hmm. So you had a queen from each for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, again, you raise money for the athlete. And then wherever the team went, if they won tournaments and so forth, you got to go to.
Mm.
So again, I get into this. And then I won that time, and I was Miss Montague. That's me right there.
Oh, nice.
And this was taken at West Virginia State College at the state tournament. And then I just listed different ones who were principals at Montague High School. And, oh, and the fact that only 9 African-American teachers were hired in Montague County after integration. This lady was pretty popular around here, Mrs. Payton. And this is the only picture I had of her, so I just wanted to use that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a shot of Montague High School. Then right here, these were 3 of my classmates. This lady right here became the first African-American female to graduate WVU after integration.
Wow.
But the first 2 years when she graduated, she of course had to go to West Virginia State College
mm-hmm.
because she, and she lived right downtown, could have thrown a rock to the campus.
Yeah.
So then she enrolled here and became the first. Her grandfather was the same one that I just showed you had the ice cream place
mm-hmm.
and who was millionaire
mm-hmm.
twice, but and Annette Chandler, and so she was honored in history as that person. Again, almost made a mistake. I was on the committee when they got the. You know what? That is wrong. I just realized that. So I took that picture. And one other lady was looking at this one time and sent me a message that I had to be careful how many times I did this because they wouldn't. And I thought, what is she talking about? I took some of them pictures myself.
Uh-huh.
I took that picture in high school.
Whoa, crazy.
What was I going to tell you? Oh, when we were getting ready, the committee, we were dedicating the new Center for Black Culture.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to award, have down in history who was the first African-American female and male graduates.
Mm-hmm.
And she graduated in 56. So when they first put the committee together, I must have missed a meeting or something like that. And somebody had given another name.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it one day, and I said, that couldn't be right. That young lady's too young
mm-hmm.
to have been the first graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had given us permission to go through any files, anything we needed for admissions and records.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy kind of got a little bit upset with me, but if I think I'm right, you got to move the mountain to show me I'm wrong. And I said, I know that. So he said, well, if you know so much, then you find out who it was. Mm-hmm. I said, I will come up with it. Trust me. And it was, I thought, I know she couldn't be the first one. She couldn't be the first one. She, this young lady didn't graduate high school till maybe 60s or something. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, sometimes things bother me so bad that I'll wake up at night thinking about it. In the middle of the night, I sit up in the bed and I thought, oh my God, how could I be so dumb? I thought, my best friend. And I couldn't wait till the university opened the next morning to call admissions and records. And here she had she graduated from university before the other lady graduated from high school.
Oh, wow.
And what the sad part about it was, they had sent, someone said she would be the first one, the other lady, uh-huh. And she was living in, well, she still lives in Florida. Uh-huh. She was an artist. And they had sent her a letter inviting her to come back as a first graduate.
Uh-oh.
But what was so funny was she had accepted, mm-hmm. but wanted to know if they were going to pay her expenses. Mm-hmm. And what were they going to pay, you know, about
right,
to,
right.
You know, and for them to write back and tell her, no, they had to write back and tell her she wasn't the first one. So,
funny.
Trust me.
Did she come? Did she end up coming?
Oh, no. But she wasn't going to get paid, and she wasn't
right,
the first
yeah.
one. But this lady did come, so they got
nice.
In touch with her. And the other people, they got mad at me because I said, that's how history goes.
Yeah, right,
now
exactly,
wrong.
Yeah.
If she's not, what?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This was our first, reunion, mm-hmm. and this was what, and of course, our high school, the Bulldogs, was our mascot.
Uh-huh.
So when we did this, and Barb Howe, have you met Barb Howe?
Mm-mm.
Okay, you'll probably meet Barb Howe. Barb Howe's so good in history. Well, she's retired from the history department, Dr. Barb Howe.
Uh-huh.
So she helped me put this together because she did the PowerPoint. I got the information, mm-hmm. most of the information together. And then she said, now, at the end of it, she said, you got to put stuff about yourself. I said, I don't want stuff on here about me because it's not. She said, well, they're wanting to know something about who put it together. So I said, I'll tell you what, I don't like to talk about myself. So I said, so you talk about that part.
Yeah.
So then she would, when she's with me, she does she this next know. Part.
Yeah.
So then we just talked about, you know, because I was the first black mm-hmm. woman they hired at Sterling Fawcett. These are the people that I talked to you about with the...
the couple.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Peterson's and what we did there. Then this was... Then, of course, then I went to WVU and I was in the ID office. And then these were my union activities, and this mm-hmm. was my public service.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, and then from there, then I went to city council. And then we put this in because we were still talking about integration, segregation, and so forth. And this is a metropolitan downtown, and I was the mayor when they got the first money to purchase this building. And then I always tell everybody, I said, but it was the weirdest thing. I was to meet with the people and take the check over, and this was the committee
mm-hmm.
that was working to save the Metropolitan Theater. And this was the first guy that started the campaign to save it. This was a guy, Comunsey, who owned the building. This is the city manager right here. The rest of the people are on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I told later, I said, no one knew but me. I just had cold chills sitting there. I said, here I sit today. I said, here's this poor little black girl from Osage. When I was a kid, I had to sit up in there, and now here I sit today to
yeah.
check the bad place.
Wow.
So, and then of course, then I went to the House of Delegates, and then these are some of the awards and things that I got while I was in the house, so.
Nice.
And that was
that's
it. But
cool,
you can,
that's
but
great.
You can hold
yeah,
this up.
Well, yeah, that's awesome. I hadn't seen a lot of those photos, even though they're at WVU libraries. Because I look, you know, from time to time to find
mm-hmm.
things.
Now, the one of the, let me see, Mr. Barnett's picture. The one of the one school up at Cassville, you know, and the one out Jerome Park, I took those myself when I was putting this together. here, Mr. Barnett. He was the principal, evidently forever, because I have this paper that I got from the National AME Church, African American Episcopal Church. Mm-hmm. And after some of the information came out about Hidden Figures, and one lady from Morgantown, Vaughn, she went to church down here on Beechurch Avenue, and she grew up. Her family came here from Kansas, uh-huh. and evidently my friend that I was just telling you, Annette Chandler, her dad, Annette's granddad, uh-huh. who had restaurants all over town, uh-huh. he evidently recruited them to come here from Kansas, and then and I think that Vaughn was 7 years old. Well, she graduated high school in the early 20s, uh-huh. but she was a pianist at St. Paul AME Church, and she must have been exceptionally bright. Mm-hmm. And I was reading something from the church, and then here was this letter that someone wrote, a letter of recommendation for her, and just praising all the good work mm-hmm. she had done. Mm-hmm. And the letter was written in 1923. And when I get to the bottom of the letter, he had signed it. I thought, wow. How could he do that?
Yeah.
He was still the principal in the 50s when I went. Jeez. I was so surprised.
Wow.
So I thought, it's ironic how he knew Vaughn, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but he also, later years, knew Catherine Coleman.
Right. Yeah.
So he touched both of their lives.
Yeah, before.
He touched both of their lives before
wow.
they were famous.
That's amazing.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's very cool.
And I thought maybe some people would never, you know that put the two together.
Right, right.
But when I read that letter, I thought something about Arthur Barnett.
Wow.
I thought, oh my God.
That's amazing.
So he was Vaughn's principal, and then when she was in school, and then he was Catherine's principal when she taught with him. Isn't that something?
Yeah, crazy.
But there
that's
he
very
was.
Very cool. In the Morgantown History Museum, is there a physical building?
Yeah. Do you know where the Hotel Morgan is?
Yeah. It's right there.
Past the Hotel Morgan.